The title of this sermon tonight is called, Why Rahab? When you hear the name Rahab, what do you think?
The phrase that usually goes with it, the harlot.
The harlot. Not Rahab the Christian.
Right.
Rahab the wonderful mother of six children. Rahab the harlot. Right? Sadly, sometimes when you hear of the name David and
Goliath,
or David and
Bathsheba.
Somehow that's how our minds work. We tend to remember the bad decisions that people make. The aggravation that they might be to us or whatever. And that's what we remember them by. But it makes us wonder why God chose to send the two spies from Israel to Jericho straight to Rahab's house. Look in Joshua chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went, and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above.
Amen.
And in earth beneath.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I do pray that you would show us tonight what you want us to see. Lord, I know that you have a message for us, and I pray that as you give it to us, that we would not waste it. Lord, help us to learn from it. Lord, help us to change because of it. Lord, help us to grow closer to you and learn more about you because of it.
Yes, Lord, please.
And we thank you for that, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Rahab was clearly a harlot. However, she became a believer, according to verse 11. If you read verse 11, it's evident that she turned from whatever gods that the people in Jericho served,
right,
and she turned to the one and true living God.
Amen.
So the big question that runs through our minds: did she quit being a harlot?
Yes.
I don't know if that's ever run through your mind or not. It has mine. The truth is, we don't really know. What we do know, that every time that her name is, not every time, but almost every time that her name is used in the Bible, it is accompanied with those other two words, the harlot. What we do know is that we still sin after we get saved.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, we become a new creature, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
That doesn't make us perfect, but we ought to try.
Yes.
Jesus said in the New Testament, he said, "Be perfect, even as our Father, which is in heaven, is perfect."
That's right.
Last week, I was reading that, or not that, I was reading some other verse, and we were talking, the verse was telling us that we should try to be perfect. And one of the people I sent it out to responded and said, "Where in the Bible does it say we're supposed to be perfect?"
Mm.
So I found that verse where Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as our Father which is in heaven is perfect."
That's right.
That's pretty clear that we're supposed to strive to be perfect. It's also clear that none of us are perfect.
Mm. Amen.
That doesn't mean we shouldn't try. He didn't say that for no reason.
Amen.
He said that because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be perfect. And I'm not completely sure because I'm not a Bible scholar, but a lot of times when you see the word perfect in the Bible, it doesn't mean sinless.
Right.
It means that your heart is bent towards serving God. Yes, you're going to make a mistake. Yes, you're going to sin. And when you do, you go to God and you ask God to forgive you of that sin, and he does.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
But Rahab was a harlot. Why did God choose to send these men to her house? Why didn't he send them to a godly widow that feared God, and then she was saved from the destruction? And it would be a great story to tell. You know, if you serve God, God would deliver you from destruction. That ain't how it worked.
Amen.
That wasn't how God set it up.
No.
God's not a cookie cutter. We were learning that in Sunday school this morning.
Yeah.
There was only one victory that God chose to give to Israel, where that all they did was come past the city and walk around it quietly for 7 days. That's the only time in the Bible, probably in history period, that there was a victory in war like that. Other times, God chose to let them fight it out. It's just interesting to me how that God chooses many times to just change it all up.
Amen.
Why does he do that? Because he wants us to trust on him, lean on him, and depend on the Holy Spirit's guidance.
Yes.
On everything that we do.
Yes.
Because it may be different tomorrow.
That's right.
But why did he choose Rahab? Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We've been reading through the Bible this year, and many times when you get into Numbers and Leviticus and some other books, and you get where those genealogies are, you read through them, and if you're like me, you're wondering, how is this going to help me? What great truth am I going to learn from this? Right? Now, what I have learned, and you may have picked up, most of the time when you read through these genealogies, they are telling you who the fathers and the sons were. right?
Right.
Not the ladies, not the mothers, not the daughters, most of the time. Occasionally they will, but most of the time they don't. And here in Matthew, it's a similar situation. Let's read through the first seven verses. It says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. By the way, this does tie in to the question, why Rahab?
Amen.
So just follow me on this. Verse 2, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas, or Judah, and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Thamar, or Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahson. And Nahson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rachab, or Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of who? Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David, the king. And David, the king, begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. Now, if you read the rest of this genealogy on down to verse 16, it winds up there at Mary, the mother of Jesus. So what this genealogy is the genealogy starting with Abraham, ending with Jesus. It's giving us the lineage of Jesus. Okay? The only four women that it lists in this genealogy, this is interesting, okay? Yeah. The only four women that it listed was Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. Now that's interesting because Rahab was a harlot. Tamar was Judah's daughter
in law
that they had incest. Bathsheba, or Ruth, was a Moabite. She wasn't even an Israelite. And if you follow the commands of the law, the Israelites were not to intermarry with heathen people. Right?
Right.
Ruth was a Moabite, not an Israelite. Bathsheba, she had another husband, but David committed adultery with her, and that's where Solomon came from. So you've got these four women, the only four women that were chosen by God to put into His Word in this genealogy, and every one of them had issues, right? If you go to Hebrews, you'll find Rahab again.
Mm-hmm.
Listed in the hall of faith.
Right.
Along with Abraham, Jacob, others, all these great men of God, Elijah, Rahab.
Mm-hmm.
Why Rahab? I believe that this is why. God wants us to know that it doesn't matter what you've done wrong or how many times that you've done it, but that His forgiveness is always available to us.
Amen.
When we recognize our sin, we admit it, we go to God and we confess it and repent of it.
Amen.
It's always available, according to 1 John 1:9.
That's true.
Right? Jesus came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now.
Amen.
And for eternity. God doesn't want us to live in guilt. The difference between guilt and conviction. Conviction is intended to draw us to repentance. And it should.
Yes.
Guilt is when we feel bad for something that God has already forgiven us for. Mm. God doesn't want us to live in guilt. He wants us to live life more abundantly. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that you can do that God cannot forgive you of. Rahab was a harlot. Mm. Ruth came from a heathen nation. It's evident that she became a believer.
Right.
So did Rahab.
Right.
We don't know what happened with Tamar. Bathsheba doesn't really show a whole lot of sign of becoming a strong pillar of faith. But Rahab did. And she did because she recognized who the one and only true God was. Mm. And she believed in Him.
Amen.
That's why she wound up in the book of Hebrews in the Hall of Faith. So you and I are no different. If you're like me, you've probably messed up a lot of times.
Yes.
All we have to do is go to God with that sin, ask Him to forgive us, and He will.
Thank you, Lord.
And then we repent of it, which means turn away from it. Don't go back to it. Somebody, I don't remember who it was, in our time of sharing a blessing, shared that they're thankful for forgiveness.
Amen.
If we didn't have forgiveness, it would be rough.
Amen.
Then we would live a life of guilt. Mm. But we do have forgiveness.
Thank you, Lord.
And it doesn't matter what you've done, how many times you've done it. God's forgiveness is beyond measure.
Thank you, Lord.
It's always available. All we have to do is recognize it, recognize our sin, and go to Him and ask for forgiveness. You and I can live a happy, victorious life in Jesus.
Amen.
Not because of our past sin, but because of the fact that God's forgiven us of that sin.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And has peace, victory, joy, fulfillment available for us today. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I do thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your forgiveness. Lord, I depend on that and I need that. Lord, I do pray that You would help us to live that victorious life that You give. Lord, help us to shine a bright light to those that You put in our path.
Yes, Lord, please.
Help us to be a witness of the joy and the forgiveness that You give. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand, turn to 481.